Egyptian novelist Naguib Mahfouz quietly chronicled the passion, daily life, and pent-up anger in Egypt and the Arab world in his many novels, The Cairo Trilogy, The Beggar, and Miramar. And he did it long before he won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1988. His descriptions of modernism, Islam, and the wartime overlays of the Middle East brought the reality of ordinary Egyptians, ordinary Muslims, and his beloved Cairo into focus for the very first time for Western readers. Getting Mahfouz into English print was the passion of Jackie Kennedy Onassis before she died. She oversaw many of the translations and served as editor for Mahfouz, an unusual collaboration that produced great gifts, including the definitive English edition of the Cairo Trilogy. Well, without being a dilettante and jumping right into the middle of the headlines, it is something of that same mission to bring artists and writers to testify about the turmoil in the Middle East that informs veteran radio host and journalist Christopher Lydon to produce a new series for his radio open source podcast called Arab Artists in a Revolution, voices you've not yet heard, trying to tell the story and make sense of the promise and bitter setbacks of the Arab Spring. Christopher Lydon joins us from our partner station, WGBH in Boston. This sounds very exciting, Christopher.
So glad to be here first, and thank you, and also so glad you start with Naguib Mahfouz. I mean, I read thousands of pages of that great man before I went, and it introduces you to everything, most especially, if I may say, the patriarchy, that great Cairo trilogy about one family and one absolutely tyrannical father who didn't educate his children and bullied his sons. And one of his sons, the kind of Mahfouz character growing up, says he dreams of confronting his father and saying, the reason we have tyrants in the public square is that we have always had a tyrant in the house.
Wow.
And these things are tightly related, John.
And are they alive and well in Cairo today?
Well, they're under deep pressure. I mean, the whole thing about Mubarak was that he was a failed father figure. Nasser was a failed father figure. Mubarak was two generations older than the heart of his country. And it was about bringing daddy down. People will tell me, I mean, one of my wonderful writers said, in every house in Egypt, there's a father who voted for Mohamed Morsi and a son who voted against him. And they're fighting. They're at each other's throats.
Introduce us to some of the characters that you've met.
Let's start with a guy named Ali Alaswani, who is not a successor exactly to Mahfouz, but he's the best-selling writer in the Arab world. He's a marvelously sort of bull, strong, powerful, deep-voiced character. He's also a dentist, and he works his day job. I sat in his dentist chair. He's a tremendously earthy person. He reminds me, above all, in his role sort of Norman Mailer. You know, you think of Chicago and the Pentagon and sort of being out there in the turmoil of his country. Ali Alaswani, John, it's astonishing to think, but he was on television with Shafiq, the prime minister, under the military rule, you know, a year and a half ago, and they argued for 2 hours. And he said to me, I don't want to be immodest, but the whole country was watching. And he took Shafiq down. You know, he said things like, you will not be the father of this country because you would make us the children of this country. Again, it's very sort of generational.
Yeah.
But he all, you know, at some point, Shafiq said, this is unbearable.
I wonder what he thinks of the successor. Let's hear a couple of clips from your interviews with Ala Al-Aswani, the novelist in Cairo.
It's a human nature to be scared. I mean, if you have the choice, either to stay with your children and to raise your children, or to say no to the dictator and to get tortured, most of the people will prefer to stay with their children.
And this fear theme continues in this clip here.
At some point, people become different people, and this is a real achievement of the revolution. The people are no more scared.
The people are no more scared. Boy, that says it.
But that's the truth. I think that's the big truth of this revolution. He said so many things like that. He said at one point, you know, I said, what is this about a dentist writing novels? But he said, it is one profession with two branches. I said, what do you mean? He said, doctors and novelists, they are both students of human pain. About his confrontation with Shafiq on television, let me just say, though, that he politely wiped the floor with Shafiq. Shafiq resigned the next day. This is a public figure who has tahrir weight in Tahrir Square, in the public arena generally. He ends every, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood slogan is, Islam is the solution. Ali Alaswani's slogan is, democracy is the solution. He never writes a column or gives a talk without saying, democracy is the solution.
And tell us about Khaled Hafez.
Khaled Hafez, I met sort of by accident, but he's a teacher. He happens to speak wonderful English. He's an accomplished painter, well-known in France, very well-known in Egypt, but he has a salon. Again, a group of 10, 15, 20 painters who gather, sometimes more, and talk about everything, including politics.
And indeed, the columnists, the sort of political harbingers and the ones who warn people on the streets, in some cases, are teams of graffiti artists.
Well, he introduced me to them, to that whole tradition, the painters who are redoing the walls around Tahrir Square every day, putting the news, in effect, up there, new paintings. For example, there was this horrific accident of a train hitting a school bus while we were in Cairo. It just horrified the country. Well, within 36 hours, the pictures of those children, 51 children, died an excruciating death because of this collision. And their faces were up on the walls of outside Tahrir Square. It is like a sort of daily bulletin board, but it's also done in this international graphic language that communicates instantly with the heart.
Very powerful. Here's Khaled Hafez speaking.
They're not like standard graffitis, like you see, like the midnight underground graffiti in which, like, you have, like, youngsters vandalizing the walls of the metro or passing messages to each other, to gangs passing messages to each other. No, you have a statement, a reflection that is more like of a tweet.
And this sort of Twitter analogy he carries further to describe that the revolution has informed the artists as well as the artists have driven the revolution. Listen.
You know, graffiti found the story to tell, and at the same time, the story found a new method of expression to express.
What do we learn from these folks, and what have you learned?
What I learned from Hafez, for example, is that for all the Facebook and modern digital and American and global technology contribution to that revolution, it's profoundly Egyptian, John. It goes back, and these people will tell you, and you see it on the wall suddenly. As Khaled Hafez said, this is wall painting of 5,000 years ago delivered to the world at Twitter speed. But it comes from that ancient, iconic, graphic, sort of comic book on the wall gift of the Pharaonic Nile. And the ancient, the oldest painting we know on Earth are these wall paintings. And suddenly the tradition is reborn in a way that the world can understand. There's so many other examples, though, and we won't get to many of them, but of artists who are just in the thick of things on the street. I'm thinking of a movie actor, Khaled Abulnaga. This is just before the revolution, but he finds a pulsing, dynamic, angry underground music scene. And he, one thing, wanted to sort of wrap himself around it, but then made a very important feature film about it called Microphone, about artists who had no venue. And it perfectly captures the sort of the way that artists of all sorts were anticipating big trouble. Ale Alaswani, the novelist, he's well on record saying, this is a surprise coming. There's something here that a social organism cannot bear, and it's going to break.
Christopher Lydon, thank you so much.
Great pleasure, John. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.